Women's basketball is out of the national tournament, baseball opens up its GPAC season, and Adriana Rodenzel wins a national championship. Hello and welcome to Season 3, Episode 21 of Talking Dogs. I'm Kai Ulbrich here with Aaron Spivey. Aaron, how's it going today?
I'm not doing good. My March Madness bracket is broken.
High Point kind of cooked you?
Yep. Yes, it did. It hurt me. Don't you do it.
5v12?
Yeah. Yeah, a 5-12 upset happened on my bracket.
You know, it was a good game, though.
I don't want to talk about it.
It messed up my bracket, too.
It hurts. It hurts, dude. Yeah. I mean, but it's good to be back from spring break a little bit, though. But
and there's always next March.
Yeah, I have to wait that long. I don't want to do it. It's like waiting for Christmas every 365 days. But Madness is back, and I'm happy for it. But we got a lot to talk about, though. Not that much, but we got stuff to talk about, right?
Yes, we have. This is kind of like a transitionary episode where we are closing out the rest of the winter sports. We got basketball finished up completely. We've got wrestling completely done. I'll say the cheer and dance teams, well, mostly the dance team, still going. I know they got some more competitions. They qualified for nationals. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But track and field, the indoor season has concluded. And now we're really transitioning into the spring season. You know, we got outdoor track coming up. We've got baseball, softball opening up their GPAC seasons. Baseball already has. Softball going to very soon. And we got a whole lot of action coming up. But we are going to walk you through everything that has happened since spring break.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I say we start off with women's basketball.
Yep.
Wrap that season up on what was a very nice comeback season from last year. If you guys remember from last year, they honestly were not up to their usual, you know, incredibly good standards. A team that is usually a 20-win, a 30-win team, they went 14-15 last season, 19-13 in the GPAC. A bit of a blip on Coach Olson's record, as, like I said, he's used to winning a lot. He's, you know, won a national championship, multiple GPAC titles. So last season was a bit of a blip on the radar, but this season, right back to winning ways. 20-win season, a 23-8 overall record, 17-5 overall. They were ranked in the top 10 nationally at multiple times in the season, beat lots of ranked opponents, and at the end of the day, made a GPAC semifinal, lost to the number one seed, number one in the country, Dort, and then lost in the first round of nationals in a very close game to Bethel College.
Yeah.
So it was a really good game, pretty close from start to finish. You know, Bethel was leading by one at the end of the first quarter. It was tied at halftime, 32-32. We were winning by two going into the fourth quarter, and then they outscored us 23-19 in the fourth to take that win. Players who had really good games. Kristen Wieselmeyer capped her career off in style, 18 points on 7-for-13 shooting. Got two rebounds as well, two assists, two steals, two blocks. So a really solid outing from her. Sammy Liu, the junior, 13 points, 5-of-10 shooting, 3-for-6 from three-point range. Also with six rebounds, four steals. We had Ayla Roth, the freshman, capping off her inaugural year with 10 points. We had Raylan Kelty with 8, Bree Bunting with 6. And off the bench, we had Juliana Jones doing her usual work off the bench, getting 10 points as well as 4 rebounds and an assist and a steal. So overall, the shooting wasn't bad either. 40.9% overall, 42.9% from 3. The free throws were where it really got us. Yep. Overall shooting was good, but free throws really killed us in this game, especially down the stretch. If you look at the overall shooting, very similar with Bethel. They shot 46% overall. We shot, you know, 41%. We outshot them from three, but the free throws were really, really got to us. Almost identical free throw attempts. We actually had a few more. We had 28 free throw attempts. They had 24, but they made 17 for a 71% make rate. We had 13 makes.
Okay.
For 13 out of 28 for a 46% free throw percentage. So just not where you want to be, not where you need to be in these kinds of close games. Ayla Roth was making it to the line a lot. She did all right from the line, 7-for-12. Kristen was 3-for-5, but then struggled from the line elsewhere. So that's ultimately what it came down to. Still nothing to, no season to hang their hats on. A very, very solid year, and setting themselves up well for next year, as a lot of players are coming back. I think Kristen's the only senior on that lineup. I think Raylan, Bree, and Sammy are all juniors. Ayla's a freshman. Lots of young talent off the bench.
Yes, I agree.
So definitely a positive season for them, and one that they can definitely improve on next year.
Yeah, I agree on that one, Kai. I mean, you think about the team of, obviously, you know, they still got some juniors that are coming back for their senior year. You can see that how they are working together and building that team chemistry. So even though that Kristen Wieselmeyer is going to be gone, the team chemistry is still going to be there, even though they have one of the coaches, obviously. Drew Olson is the coach who's going to feed off the energy of the team. I feel like there's nothing to worry about for next season. I mean, they did great this season, and there's more to come next season. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'll be a good, a really good competition for them next year. And yeah, we'll see what they are able to do. But I think moving on from the women's basketball, we can talk about a little bit of baseball.
Yes, baseball indeed.
All right, so baseball, you know, baseball, softball, they play so many games. So we will not be going through all of the games that have happened since spring break because there are 10 of them. But we'll give you a brief overview of what's happened and then dive into the Mount Marty series. So March 5th through 7th, we had a rough series, a very rough series, against St. Thomas University in Florida. We went 0-4 against them.
We played them 4 times.
And lost all 4.
Oh.
Yeah. 3-15 in the first one, 2-11 in the second, 4-8 in the third, and 8-12 in the final game. So just, you know, an unfortunate weekend for the Bulldogs. It was then a fifth loss in a row as we played Mayville State University on March 9th. 4-8 loss, but then snapped that 5-game losing streak with a 6-4 win over Maryville State later in that same day. We had some pretty good offensive performances, especially one from Bronx Lewis. He had 3 RBIs, 2 runs off of 2 hits.
Okay.
So, yeah, a nice one from him. And then on the pitching side, we had Cameron Pickens, Trent Schlimm, and DJ Anderson coming in for that game. Trent Schlimm ended up getting the win. He was the best pitcher on the day by the stats. He had 3 innings pitched, allowed just 2 hits, and struck out 4 batters. No walks, no runs. So a really solid 3 innings from him. And then DJ Anderson came in to close out, got the save with just 1 hit and 1 run given up in his 1 inning. So solid day for our Concordia pitchers. And then moving on to that Mount Marty series, ended up going 3-1 in that, which, you know, is fine.
Yeah.
Baseball is one of those where sometimes you're not hitting well in that specific game, you know. So we win the first one 6-2. We lose the second one 3-2. Win the third one 9-2. And win the last one 7-3.
Okay.
So in that first game, we went up by 2 early, were able to hang on to that lead and build it a little bit. On the offensive side, Jake Watson got 2 RBIs on 2 of his hits. Jimmy Bloomberg got 2 RBIs on his 1 hit. And then on the pitching side, we had Alex Johnson pitching all 7 innings, gets the win, allowed just 3 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, and 11 strikeouts.
Wow, 11?
11 strikeouts, just 3 hits.
That's a lot. That's like very impressive for sure. I'll agree on that.
Absolutely. So, really good day from the graduate senior Alex Johnson. Moving on to that loss, we had 2 different pitchers. This one was tied and went into extra innings. So, when they do these 4-game series, the games are just usually to 7.
Right.
This one, we ended up going 9 innings. So a full 9 innings for this game, and we ended up losing, like I said, 3-2. On the pitching side, Devin Goner pitched 8 innings, had a really solid outing, allowed 7 hits throughout 8 innings, 3 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Alex Grease came in for the last inning, 0 hits, 0 runs given up, and then 1 strikeout. So came in really well there. at the end. It was just the offense wasn't on as much as it usually is in this game. We had just two hits on the day, two of those coming from Luke Wilson, who also got one of our RBIs along with Jake Watson. We left some runners on the base. We left seven on. Usually if you're below 10, though, that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
So just not very, very productive on the hitting side. The Mount Marty pitchers had a really nice day. Their first guy, Cade Sudbeck, pitched five innings, allowed just two hits, struck out five. Their next guy, Aiden Anderson, pitched three innings, three hits and five strikeouts. And their closer, Aspen Dahl, pitched an inning, struck out two, didn't allow any hits or runs. So really solid day from Mount Marty's pitching staff. But then moving on to the third game, a really nice 9-2 win in this one. The offensive production was back. We had Jaden Jordahl with three hits. We had Andrew Fetty with two hits. Both of those guys got two RBIs. Carson Burnett, two hits and two RBIs. Andrew Fetty had a home run in there. We had Carson Burnett getting a triple. Jimmy Bloomberg and Jake Watson also got some RBIs. On the pitching side, Brody Smear, 3.1 innings pitched, four hits given up, no runs, five strikeouts. Trent Schlimm, 2.2 innings pitched, three hits, just one run given up, four strikeouts. And then Dayton Schmidt came in for the last inning, gave up one hit and one run, struck out two. Trent Schlimm gets the win for that game. He's now 2-0 on the season. And then going into that final game, a 7-3 win. Again, offensive production is back. We left 10 on base in this one, so definitely there's a little bit more to give on some of those maybe clutch plate appearances. But home runs from Bronx Lewis and Jimmy Bloomberg. Bronx also had a double in this game. He had three RBIs. Jimmy Bloomberg, two. Alex Draper with one. Pitching-wise, really solid day again. Kaden Buzarki, five innings pitched, five hits given up, two runs, two walks, four strikeouts. We had Warren Rose, who got the win, 2.2 innings pitched, one hit, three strikeouts. And then DJ Anderson with the close, once again, one inning pitched, no hits, no runs, one strikeout.
Goodness gracious, Kai, you've been talking for a minute, but good stuff.
Thank you. So, overall, good solid series against Mount Marty.
Yes, indeed.
In a few of the games, maybe there could be a little bit better hitting when there's runners on base. I know it's the most stressful part when you got people on base because you know you got to get the hit there.
Yep.
It wasn't even bad. It's not like we're leaving 20 guys on base. In game two, we left seven. Game three, we left five. In games one and four, we left 10 on base. So, I mean, there's certainly some room to improve, but overall, really solid series from them. Actually, it starts today, playing against Doan, our favorite opponents, our best friends. Doan, that's going to be in Lincoln for the first two games at Sherman Field. They actually started 6 minutes ago at 1 o'clock. That gives you guys a little hint of what time we're recording this.
Yep.
And then they play at 4 today, and then they'll play tomorrow in Crete at noon and 3. So, good job this weekend to the baseball team.
Absolutely.
And yeah, moving on to hopefully beat Doan, and then we got Waldorf in Forest City, Iowa on the 28th. Dang, they're going to Forest City just for two games. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, moving on to softball now. They have not yet opened up their GPAC season. That'll happen tomorrow against Briarcliff University. Right now they're playing against, or not right now, but today, they're playing against Nebraska Wesleyan in Lincoln. That'll be at 4-6 today, so they'll likely be done by the time this is uploaded, but they'll be playing Briarcliff tomorrow to open their GPAC season. And then the only games they have had since spring break. Do we talk about their game against Baker and Bethany last week?
I think we did.
Yeah, I think we did, because they've had nothing since then.
So
no softball. Okay. I guess that makes this episode a little shorter. But yeah, so Nebraska Wesleyan today, Briarcliff tomorrow. And then, yeah, moving on to wrestling. Unfortunately, Wrestling Nationals did not go quite as planned for our guys. No one made it to the last day at Nationals, but Yeah. So overall, as a team at Nationals, placed 20th, which there's about 60 teams in the field, so not bad in that respect. Our top performers, we had Hagen Highstand, who was wrestling at a 157. He was actually the runner-up at 149 last year. Did not have quite as good of a day. He won his championship round 1 and 2, but then lost to Grandview's Bryce Baumans in the quarterfinal. He was ranked 5th in the nation. Hagen was ranked 4th. And then in the consolation round, Avent Steferson from Southern Oregon got the pin on Hagen and ended his Nationals run. Barrett Brandt led the team in team points. He got the team 7.5. He won his first championship round over Matthew Russell from Williams Baptist, then lost in the second round to number 4 Adrian Chavez Morales from Southern Oregon. Then Barrett ended up going 2 wins in a row in the consolation round. He beat Cole Olguin from Oklahoma City with a pin, and then in that second one, he pinned Doug Dittmer from Georgetown. He got his 50th pin of his career, which is quite impressive.
Congratulations.
Yeah, one of the reasons his team points were so high, but then he ended up losing to Kendall Norfleet from Life via major decision in the consolation round 4, and that ended his national hopes as well. So, not exactly what the Bulldogs were hoping for. I know they were hoping to get some guys on the podium, but if you look at their season as a whole, their dual record was really good. They went 8-1 in the GPAC in dual formats, only losing to Doan. So really solid season from them overall. You know, weren't able to get the business done at Nationals, but again, just like basketball, have a lot of guys coming back, certain to be a good season next year as well.
It might be a revenge tour if you think about it.
Definitely could be. Yeah, not getting exactly what they want this year, but looking really solid going into next season.
I agree. I definitely agree.
All right. Do we want to talk about track and field?
I think we should, but before we do that, we got to talk about the star show for another time in a row, Adriana Rodenzel.
Yes, Adriana Rodenzel kept her winning record intact. She did not lose a race this year in the 60-meter hurdles.
Wait, really?
She was first place in every single race, including those 2 UNL meets.
Yes, she did.
She did not lose to an NAIA, D3, D2, or D1 competitor all season long. And trust me, she raced all of those.
And she won them.
And she won them all. So, 2-time All-American, 3-time Great Plains Athletic Conference champion in the 60-meter hurdles.
And now,
a national champion.
Yes, because not only did she become a national champion in the 60-meter hurdles, Kai, she broke her school record. And she got PR. It was an 8. Remember, her last run was at the Lincoln meet, 8.26. She ran an 8.25.
There we go.
And for those obviously listening, there is a clip on the Concordia page or Concordia like athletics page of the video of Adriana winning the 60-meter hurdles. And let me tell you, when you look at the video, Kai, it was over by maybe on that third hurdle. Mm-hmm. She was gone. Like, there was nobody near her.
Literally, the only chance of her losing was if she fell over a hurdle.
Or false started.
Yeah.
And she didn't, because, you know, she knows the timing, she has the speed, and she got it done. So not only did she finish her indoor season as a national champion, she broke the school record again and basically became a national champion. I mean, if you look at her story, you see her years of being a freshman, sophomore year, you can see the progression that she had. And that literally shows you of her sticking to it and trusting God's plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And the video is kind of funny because you turn on the video and you usually in a track event, you expect the race to be on the track. But it's actually, they have the 60-meter races are all in the middle of the track.
Yeah.
So it just looks kind of funny because you don't usually see it like that.
No, there's some tracks that do that if you look at like D1s or R1s as well. I mean, I've been to one that actually did that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so that was my first time seeing a race like that.
Really?
Yeah. But then also at Nationals, you know, we'll just shout out how a lot of these different teams did. On top of that 60-meter hurdle championship, Rodenzel competed in the 4x4. With senior Josie Noble, Kayla Kirshner, and then junior Tayden Kirshner. The team placed 14th, They ran a 3:54.45. Johnny Jerkin, I know we mentioned he got an All-American honor. We'll mention it again. He got sixth in the 3K race walk, improving on his seventh place from last season. He ran, walked, crossed the finish line in 12:14.38. Jack Haberger just missed out on All-American. He placed ninth, but still with a very solid time, 12:58. Would have placed him, I believe, in the top eight last season. Nathan Baldwin got the team's only field national championship of the indoor season. He got third place in the men's weight throw with a PR of 19.3 meters.
Which is 63 feet, 4 inches, if you're wondering what it is.
For those who use freedom units.
Yes, yes, but for us, we use the meters as much. But we're not going to get into it, though. But yeah. Obviously, this team for indoor season has been a great shout-out to all the seniors who, you know, did their best, tried to compete, went to nationals. And, no, on to outdoor season. Now, before they get into the outdoor season Kai, they're hosting high school meets at this moment right now. There was one yesterday. And your boy Aaron Spivey was the announcer for that meet.
Hey, there you go. So pull up to the Concordia meets if you want to maybe hear Aaron Spivey.
That was just that one day.
Oh, just a one and done.
Yeah.
All right. Nope. Never mind. No more. Still go out and support. I guess if you know someone, if you don't know someone, they're fun. I don't know. High school meets. You can see who maybe the future of the Bulldogs is. So, yeah. And then the first outdoor meet of the season is going to be March 28th, the UNK Hastings College Central Cup, or Central Nebraska Challenge.
Yes, March 28th. And don't worry, because obviously for those who won't be at that meet for the Hastings Central Nebraska Challenge, there's another thing that's going out on.
Yes, it's not really a sports-related thing, but we do have the NPCMA Conference, which is a journalism conference for schools in the area, your boy and your other boy.
Yep.
So Aaron and I will be hosting a panel discussion on podcasting. So if you're interested, the conference is from 9 to 2. It's going to be here at Concordia. So pull up and listen to us talk about podcasts. Exactly. Because we're clearly experts.
Mostly experts, but we're learning.
Very much experts. So come hear all of our expertise at the conference. Yeah. And then shall we talk about tennis?
Yeah, so I think we already did talk about tennis,
though. Oh, we talked about baseball. We haven't talked about tennis yet.
Oh, I was just kidding. I just had rainfall for a second. But yeah, we got to definitely talk about tennis. We can't forget tennis.
Yeah, tennis has been continuing their excellent seasons, both on the men's and women's side. The women have not really had anything since spring break. They had two competitions get canceled. They were going to play Seward County Community College and Missouri Valley College today and yesterday. Both of those got canceled, but the men have had some action since then. They played Seward County Community College here yesterday, ended up getting a 5-2 win. We swept them in doubles competition. Danny Caballeros and Leo Lopez won theirs, Ben Chiselman, Hugo Fuentes won theirs, and then Onion Gadjic and Nick Velders got the wins in their doubles competition. We went four wins, two losses in the singles format. Those winners were Nick Velders, Ben Chisholm, Leo Lopez, and Santiago Abadia.
Okay.
And then the ones we lost, both of those were like extra sets, so very close matches. So excellent job from the men's tennis team. Women's team, we're still waiting to see what'll happen tomorrow, see if they'll still be playing in Fulton, Missouri. But those records are 8-4 for the women and 11-2 for the men. The men have played and beaten some ranked competition so far, so I know a lot of those guys are hoping to get a national ranking here pretty soon.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, I think that's pretty much all of the sports that we have for this week. We talked about those track and field national things. We had softball, baseball, tennis things, wrestling, women's basketball. So that is all of the sports action. And before we close off the episode, we just want to talk about some pretty sad news that happened over spring break. There was a tragic accident with a couple of the guys on the men's track and field team. Unfortunately, Matthew Wing did pass away in the car accident that occurred. And then we have Noah Ramirez still in the hospital. We had Jackson Lindbergh and Hayden Kluth also in the car. I believe they have been released from the hospital.
That is correct. They are. They have been released.
Yep. And then Noah is still in the hospital dealing with some head injuries. I think the signs have been good so far, but still definitely sending prayers to him and his family, and then, of course, prayers for Matthew's family as well.
And his wife, too.
Yes, absolutely, for his wife as well. So, yeah, just a really sad, unfortunate, tragic situation that happened. But that's why you need the strong community, and I know the Bulldog track and field team is a very strong community. You'll rally around all those people we just mentioned, the families of all those affected. And especially Noah as he continues to recover.
Also, we guys give some prayers too for obviously the people that were at the scene with it. We had Ethan, Endo, and Isaiah Gaunt. They were in a second car and they saw it like in for action. So they are a little bit traumatized. So we are praying for them as well too, for what's going on for them though. Yeah, but everyone in Seward is praying for the track team and the families that are going through this tough time.
Absolutely. And if anyone needs any counseling services, Concordia does have a counseling center. You can email them or stop in. You can go to the Student Life office to get help with those. Pastor Matthias, great resource if you ever need to talk to someone about more spiritual topics. So if any of this has been, you know, traumatizing or just heavy, make sure you get the help and support you need, because the Bulldog community is certainly there for you. Big family here, big family on the track and field team, but then the Bulldog and Seward community as a whole. So make sure you get the help you need, and prayers for all those affected by this.
Yep.
But it's sad to close out an episode like this on a sad note, but I figured we should talk about that and make sure people can get the help that they need and that people are informed. But I think that'll be the end of this episode. So until next time, this has been Kai Ulbrich and Aaron Spivey on Season 3, Episode 21 of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to give us a follow on Spotify and listen at cuneSower.com/podcast. And from me and Aaron and everyone else at the CUNE Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!